Welcome to the Global Connection, a Tel Aviv University podcast. Journey with us as we discover how TAU's academic community and friends are engaging with and helping to shape this ever-changing world.
Hi everyone, I'm Jackie Goren, the head of the Sofer Global MBA program at Tel Aviv University. And today I'm here with Nimrod Cohen, who is the managing partner at Tau Ventures. He actually was in this podcast before. Tau Ventures is the first university-based venture capital fund in Israel. And I wanted to invite Nimrod to join me for this podcast episode of The Global Connection to discuss an important issue, which is the state of Israel high-tech and startup industry since October 7th. The whole of Israel right now continues to grapple with the after effects of October 7th. I definitely feel it every day. As well as with the Israeli-Hamas war that we are still experiencing. And the high-tech and startup community is no exception. Given Nimrod's work very closely with many startups across Israel, I figured he would be a great person to discuss how exactly Startup Nation is managing these days and the way the companies in Israel have adapted and pivoted since October 7th. So, Nimrod, I think maybe to open with an open question, you know, describe to me how you experienced October 7th. And I guess maybe the first couple of days, which you remember, I guess, day by day. So, I mean, from the perspective of managing, you know, a venture capital fund in Israel.
Yeah. Well, first, great to be here again. And thank you for hosting me. I guess on a personal level, like all of us, I think, I was in shock, you know, I mean, many mixed feelings of shock, afraid, insecure, surprised, and so on and so on. I guess in the first couple of days, we all pretty much, although we were not in, survival mode, but we felt a bit like it. And we just want to stay at home with our families and see what's going on and understand, try to somehow understand what's going on. Now, I have the responsibility of, as the managing partner at Tau Ventures, not only to think about myself, obviously. So even after a couple of hours or a couple of days, we realized, okay, we need to take responsibility of our business, of our fund, and to see how we can help any of our startups and the ecosystem in general. By the way, one part of our team, Bar, she, from October 7th, after 2 hours or so, she's on reserve until now, which is crazy when you think about it. And one of my responsibilities...
She's a woman. Just to mention to people
yeah.
Know what Bar means. It's
exactly.
A woman name.
For me, it's no, it's not an issue, but I guess for most people, it's...
Yes.
Yeah. So we're really proud of her, and we try to do everything we can in order to support her and to give her the feeling that there is nothing she needs to take care other than herself and Israel, and forget about the day-to-day work, and we got it covered. So this is one aspect, for example. Other than that, so we started as a team, as myself, we started to talk to our founders, and, you know, first on a personal level, again, I mean, it's all start with, you know, human being at the end of the day. Leave the business aside, we'll get to that. So just to see how they handle, if they need any help, mental help, just some hands, or whatever it is they need. And then after a couple of days, we did several of activities. We had this group session, we had one-on-ones. We first wanted to understand what is their main challenges now. Mm-hmm. And we realize, again, there are some personal, obviously, issues that they all try to understand and solve. There are issues like, okay, I have less working hands now. Some companies, 30, 40, 50% of their people went to the army.
30% of the people went to the army.
30%, that's the average.
Amazing, amazing figure.
Yeah, so that's the average. So it means that some of the companies lost 50% of their... they try to understand, okay, what is it that we can do? Because at the end of the day, we need to deliver. You know, we have customers, we have responsibilities we somehow need to deliver. Secondly, we need money, obviously. I mean, keep in mind that we all got into October 7th in a tough situation. There was an economic crisis, the political crisis here in Israel. It was not like a...
every day.
Yeah, it was not like the best situation.
I remember talking to VCs last year before the war, and they were all anticipating that 2024 will be like the year that we will get out of the crisis that we were experiencing, the entire world after Corona, but especially Israel.
Yeah, we'll get to that. I'm super optimistic, but we'll get to that.
Okay,
but
I'm happy to hear that we are going somewhere.
Yeah, optimistic. Absolutely, absolutely. But so we try to realize, okay, what is it that you need help with? Mm-hmm. I'm not sure how to help you yet, but what is it that you need to, some help with? So after we gather some answers from our portfolio companies, we created some tools for them. I mean, some with connecting them to the relevant professionals to help them with that, some with other investors, some with whatever it is they need. We try to help them with some solutions, group type of solutions, one-on-one, whatever it is they need. And it pretty much continues until now, I guess. Yeah, but... I think the main concern now, looking back, the main concern or the main risk on the Israeli high-tech ecosystem was, can we still deliver? Mm-hmm. Because obviously Israel is a bit high-risk type of investment, right? Because every couple of years or year or whatever it is, we have this, I don't know how to call it, we have missiles, basically, which is crazy when you think about it, but...
Although maybe it's part of the, you know, special sauce that
makes sure,
it successful.
I'm sure, but
it's hard to say that. But
I'm sure, but there is a risk factor with that.
Absolutely.
But the fact is that in the last couple of years or so, we still delivered. I mean, companies sold their services worldwide. They still delivered. They went to reserve. They still delivered. And now it was a different situation because so many people already pretty much disappeared. The main risk was, can the Israeli high-tech still deliver, mm-hmm. as I see it? And now I have to say that I think the Israeli high-tech ecosystem will already somehow in the process of getting out stronger than before. Because although we are or were in a crazy situation, that there is no other startup ecosystem worldwide that pretty much had those challenges that we do have, I think that we delivered. Companies delivered their product to their customers, somehow achieved their milestones or adapt to this new situation. And that's part of our uniqueness.
You're saying it's agility at its highest level.
And if after what's going on now, we're still there and we're still delivering and we are still doing crazy things, I think that it gives the confidence, maybe not for the short term because it's a mess, it's still a mess here, but looking for the a bit later, I think that's we'll get out stronger than before.
So I have a couple of many questions. I'll start.
Okay,
so one of them, you talked a lot about your relationship with the ventures and the entrepreneurs, and I'm sure that the steps that you took actually made you closer with them, and I can see how that can, you know, build relationship to the future and make things better. How was it with your investors?
So at the end of the day, I think if someone behaves in a specific way with someone, there's a good chance that's the type of people or human being they are. And it's not like this is how they act or behave with someone and they're behaving totally differently with others. Mm-hmm. Meaning that the relationships that we have with our entrepreneurs and with our colleagues, this is the type of people that we are. This is the type of fund that we created, that we want to work with people that we trust, they trust us. We have great relationships. It's not founder investor relationships. It's not corporate VC relationships. Mm-hmm. It's much more than that. And that's how we pretty much chose our LPs and they chose us.
Interesting.
I mean, that's the type of relationships that we have. So hours or days after October 7th, we got tons of emails, phone calls, guys, how are you? Do you need any help? Don't worry about anything. Just take care of yourself and your families. And we're proud of you. And we are sorry that we are not there to support you. Anything you need from us, just let us know, and so on and so on. And very quickly, we felt that, okay, we want to somehow expose them to what's going on. Because at the end of the day, obviously, they're super nice. They're super supportive. But it's a business at the end of the day. Yeah. They gave us money. We need to create the best return that we can. So after a couple of days, we sent them a report about everything that's going on. And then a couple of weeks later, we sent another report. And there are some that want to get more updates. There are some that they are, they don't really into getting too many reports. It's not that the others are not trusting us, but it's a different approach, I would say. I have to say that we're super proud of our LPs.
I'm sure they're super proud of you.
I hope so. We're doing our best we can, but that's the feeling that we get.
So you're saying that you set the ground of the relationship long before the war, and now it's...
Totally. Same with the founders,
by the way.
Paid off. Yeah.
And maybe the fact that your university fund also from the beginning created a kind of an impact also in the investments here. It's not just about money, although money is the main thing, but...
I keep saying that money, at the end of the day, it's a commodity.
I agree.
That's not the issue. I mean, money is a commodity. You can't be a great investor because you have money, and you can't be a great entrepreneur because you raise tons of money. I mean, that's just a commodity. It's just a tool. And it's much more than that. And I think that's the uniqueness that we pretty much created here around Tao Ventures, you know, with everything other than just money, because many others have money as well.
Amazing. Another question. I don't know if it's relevant yet, but still, I guess many of your companies, at least the ones that are already selling, are, you know, facing abroad, not Israeli market,
right,
as all the startups here in Israel, most of them. So we know that one of the after effects of October 7th were not just sympathy to Israel, but also a lot of anti-Semitism and criticism. So did you experience that, I mean, with your companies, or not yet? Not at all.
When you think about it, some of our companies actually put aside all the bad things around what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
For their business, it created a huge opportunity.
I mean,
Extend, for example, one of our companies,
mm-hmm,
they had about 25 million shekels new agreements in the last 3 months.
Wow. What do they do?
They have this crazy technology with drones.
Okay.
And actually, they save lives as we speak in Gaza. And that makes us even more proud than the fact that they have a lot of new agreements and so on. I mean, and they felt the same. So some of our portfolio companies, it created great opportunities. Some of our portfolio companies, obviously, created some challenges, but I'm not aware of any situation where, because it's an Israeli company, because anything, it's at least not that we know of. I mean, theoretically, maybe there are some, I don't know, individuals or companies that, decided not to buy or not to continue or whatever it is. I'm not sure. I don't think so, but I'm not sure. But it's not something that is
You're
out there.
Aware of.
No.
Okay. We know that Israel is an ecosystem. So, you know, it happened not just to your venture or to your portfolio companies, but to many ventures and portfolio companies. Is there a help or any project that you're aware of that the Israeli government did, or the Innovation Authority did, or anything like that, that worth mentioning, that was helpful in these times?
Totally. You know, we are in Israel, and in general, we like to, say bad things about governments and so on. That's the whole fun, and most of the time it's true. But I have to say now that the Innovation Authority here in Israel, it's as close as it gets to the private sector.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that they react so quickly and suggested some support and grants and new programs of hundreds of millions to support the Israeli startup ecosystem, I think that's that's something very unique, and I'm super proud to be part of this ecosystem and part of this country in this situation. And some of our companies got great grants from the Innovation Authority, and I know about other startups not from our portfolio. I mean, there are hundreds of Israeli startups that got great money.
They announced a very
And it's happening.
Program.
It's not just an announcement.
Like 2 weeks after it started, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, totally.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
So, you know, on a personal level, again, I mean, now when you have like 3 months perspective into the event, you know, what will be the tips that you will give to yourself 3 months ago, or God forbid that somebody who is about to go through this in the future? You know, actually you experienced crisis management in a venture fund.
You know, I'm talking to our founders. We had this small event that we had a toast. It was like a month ago. And I was like, maybe you guys are not aware of, but taking, I don't know, the last 4 or 5 or 3 years. I mean, so we had COVID. We had Ukraine, Russia. We had economic crisis. We had the local politics issues. Now we had a war. I mean, that's not something new for us here in Israel. And obviously now it's totally crazy effect now, right? It's not like, it's maybe the largest effect that we all as human beings had in the last, I don't know, since the beginning
since
of Israel.
Since I was born,
pretty much.
I can say, testify for myself.
Totally.
And I was born a long time ago.
Yeah. And this is something that we never experienced, so it's not like you have a booklet that you can open and see what's to do. I think that's having around you the right team and having around you the right people, and things will be okay. I mean, you can't expect everything. You can't prepared to any situation. Actually, you're not supposed to be prepared to extreme situations. I mean, but you need to have the right people and the right platform and the right ecosystem around you, and then whatever it is that's going to happen, you'll know how to solve it and how to
I totally agree with you. You know, I'm managing the Sofer Global MBA.
Mm-hmm.
And on October 11th, we were supposed to start our orientation week with students coming from all over the world to Israel.
Perfect timing.
You know, in retrospect, now we have 25 students that stay with us. 90% of them are in Israel. It's like one of the best cohorts we ever had. All of them are brave and unique and unbelievable. And I also remember every hour, every minute of the first few days. And I totally agree with you that it's all about the team and the platform. And after that, I thought about writing maybe a case study about it. And I went to read the textbooks. And actually, without knowing the textbooks, actually what we did was what the textbooks recommend.
Yeah, I
totally agree with you that if you have a good team, you will manage to work it out.
Yeah.
And what about the entrepreneurs themselves? I mean, I remember I was managing once a corporate VC during crisis.
Right.
And I remember that these hard times, sometimes you learn who are the good entrepreneurs, the resilient ones, and who are the ones that, you know, maybe I'm not going to invest in the future. So did you experience something similar to that?
Yeah, again, remember I wrote, we have this WhatsApp group of our portfolio founders, and I wrote them after like 2 weeks or so that maybe they are not aware of the fact that these days they are becoming better managers, better entrepreneurs, better human beings, and they're going through crazy situation with crazy challenges that no one in the world ever faced. And if they're going to get through this situation, and it's not going to be easy to go through this situation, but if they're going to do it, there's a very good chance that their company is going to be super unique and super successful. Not all of them going to cross that bridge, not just because the war, again, economic crisis and everything's going on, and most startups are not successful at the end of the day, which is totally fine. But living through this situation and those challenges gonna make you a better entrepreneur, if not with that specific venture, so with the next one. Unlike, you know, entrepreneurs that only experienced, let's say they started their company like 7 years ago and they sold it like 2 years ago, for them being an entrepreneur, well, that's fun.
Piece of cake,
fun. I mean, no, obviously they had some challenges, but not anything close to what we have in right now. So trying to look at it as in a positive way, I think that it's going to make us better and stronger.
Can you give an example? I mean, you said before that the end of this conversation is going to be a happy end.
Yeah.
And that your prospect for the future is positive. So.
Yeah, I'm happy to share it with everywhere that they're willing to hear me. Because, again, for the short term, I mean, we're in deep shit. Sorry about that. But, I mean, no one knows how it's going to end. No one knows how it's going to end. No one knows it's going to end in a week from now, 6 months from now. I have no idea. I'm really have no idea. But it's going to end in a certain point. Again, in a month from now, 6 months from now, whatever it is. Once it's going to end, Israel will be a safer place than 3 months ago. For sure. Maybe a lot, maybe a little, but it will be a safer place. I think the people that about 3 months ago we had, I would say, inner crisis, or the people, pretty much the Israeli people, were not in a peace with each other. I think we are in a much, much, much better place. I think we'll have a new government that's going to be more balanced and more agreed, and I would say maybe more normal in a way. And if you look at the Arab countries like Saudi Arabia and some others, they're as close as they can to say, kick their ass. They're as close as they can to say that. And you see Jewish from all over the world already started to make Aliyah. And I think we're going to have tons of them coming to Israel. And I hear about many talented people from the private sector announcing, I'm going to the public sector. I want to make a change. So in a point from, I don't know, a year from now, 2 years from now, maybe 3 years from now, I'm pretty sure that we'll live in a safer place, united people here, peace agreement with Saudi Arabia, many new Olim Chadashim, and that sounds good, I guess. I mean,
Sign me in.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I really think that at least most of it going to happen. I mean, we have no choice.
Yeah.
That's the only way.
Being optimistic is something that we cannot afford not being.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And so before we, you know, finish this, and I do want to finish in a, you know, positive mode.
Right.
You know, any small story or, you know, personal something that you want to share that you went through during these 3 months as managing a fund or not managing a fund that actually represent for you this time?
I think what really affected me, and I really recommended it to our founders and team and so on, you know, in that when you're going through a difficult time, I mean, the easiest or maybe your first instinct is to lay back. And I don't know, for me, the first week I was on my couch watching terrible videos and get terrible news, and I was pretty much freezed. And once I started to do stuff, you know, whatever it is, just to be active, just to try to help in any way I can, I mean, that pretty much gave me the energy and a bit optimistic view. And I saw that with our companies as well, because our CEOs and the founders, they were like, listen, what am I supposed to do with our employees? On the one hand, you want to let them stay at home with their families. I mean, that's the first instinct, obviously. But I'm not sure it's good for them. Forget about the company for a minute. I'm not sure it's good for them. I mean, I think it's pretty much with everyone. When you do something, when you talk to people, when you see people. So if I'll try to somehow get to a conclusion, is that we all get into different difficult situations, and you can lay back and wait that something good is going to happen, and maybe it will. But try to take your future or the way out of it with your own hands and do whatever it is you can, even if it sounds like a minor thing, it's going to help you get out of that tough situation, and usually it works. So I hope it's like ends our conversation with some.
This is very, very, very inspiring, and I also agree with it very much. And I'm happy that this conversation, you know, first of all, I'm happy that we did it now, because I think sometimes you need a little bit of a perspective in order to evaluate what you went through. And I think that that perspective at this time is about, you know, all the good things that we learned about ourselves and our investors and our ventures and our society in the last 3 months. And, you know, being able to look into the future and thinking that, you know, good stuff will happen in the future. So I think that that's a very good point to end this conversation and to thank you so much for coming.
Thank you.
And to, for inspiring me. And I hope that you inspired, you know, the people that will listen to this podcast.
Hope so.
So, toda roba.
Toda, thank you.
Okay.